Yes, hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says everything that goes bump at night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape.
Here's my thing, Bob. It's in my Riot Fest with my Riot Fest microphone still. So I laid it all together. I have yet to retrieve it to bring it back here. I will do that this week. I'll definitely have it for an event we're talking up in October 18th. But nobody worry. I'll just say it's at cleaners right now. Getting ready for the veil thinning. It's at the cleaners right now, and that's where it is. Right?
Yes, we are busy, Count Panic.
Yeah. But that's
all right,
where it
you
is.
Want to talk about the 18th, or you want me to talk about the 18th? Hosting it, so
yeah. Well, October 18th, which is we filmed this just a less than a couple weeks. If you're listening to this, but October 18th, sometimes scaring is caring event. It's going to be at Club Kai Yoga in East Chicago, Indiana, right on Indianapolis Boulevard. I could walk there, Bob. Not right now, but if I was at my house, I could walk.
You could walk there, yes.
Club Kai Yoga. Which is a great historic club in Chicago. We were lucky enough to actually go on a little investigation with Pete Greist,
yeah,
Steve, because you know there's not just the drinking spirits there. There's also spirits that linger, and that was a good time. But they're hosting this event, and it's all for the good of charity. It's only $5 for Extra Life, of course.
Yes.
And with that, of course, you got a cash bar available, and you got three podcasts to listen from, three spooky podcasts. Back after back after back. Of course, we'll be there, Bob After Dark, myself, and Bob. We'll have the Ghostly Podcast, Pat and Rebecca, who we'll hear from here very soon, and Channeling Chavez,
yeah,
with Jack, friend of the show, Jack, who calls in from time to time. He will be there as well. So three great paranormal podcasts. You could drink spirits while listening about spirits, all for a good cause. To raise money for Extra Life there. And I'm sure you could speak a little bit about the charity itself because, you've done work with them before.
I have, yeah. Bob After Dark is proudly partnered with Extra Life. It's a charity that helps raise money for the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, which are a local one here in Chicago, is and Robert Laurie's Children's Hospital. So all it's $5 a ticket. All proceeds will be going to the to Extra Life that night. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, where can you beat that entertainment for just $5 there?
For only $5, cash bar can't beat it.
And before we get to any more business here, Bob, I know recently you celebrated a birthday, correct?
I did, yes, last week. Thank you for remembering.
October birthday. How perfect is that?
It is literally the most perfect way of having it.
Did you do anything fun?
I was at my brother's wedding.
Your brother's wedding?
Yes, I was at my brother's wedding.
Okay, I think we could piece that together there, Bob. It was actually your brother's wedding. But, you know, and congrats to him, by the way.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if we're supposed to say the name.
We're not supposed to. I don't know what the deal is with that yet. So when the time comes, I will say who got married.
A wedding went down, and that's all we could say.
Yeah, for the moment.
But
right.
We congratulate them. But yes, Bob, you had a birthday. Do you want to say? I know you had never asked a woman their age.
35.
So you join me now.
I am
officially 35.
Well, you're 3,500.
3,500, yes, in vampire years.
Vampire years, but I'm just mere 35.
And Bob, I didn't forget. I got you something here.
I'll show on the air. Oh, look at you.
And I know, I think I know Pat and Rebecca are on the Zoom. They can only get I don't think that you can't see him, right?
They can't see me.
You can only see me, right? So I'll hold it up to you guys first. There you go. Look at that. Look at that. And we'll show it off to the camera here, because I know you travel a lot, Bob.
I do.
It's the Edgar Allan Poe word search.
Oh, how nice.
So you could, on your travels, if you're sitting on a plane, maybe not when you're driving. That's probably not safe to do a word search, but the Poe word search, it's find answers in the mysterious world of Edgar Allan Poe. So you'll be walking, it's like The Price is Right. You'll be walking home today with the Poe word search.
Well, thank you very much, Count Panic. That's
thank
very
you.
Kind of you.
You're welcome, and thank you, Cracker Barrel, for having such cool items in it. You know, who knew?
I was about to ask you if you got it.
Yeah,
Cracker Barrel.
Why not? I got to take the price tag off, everybody, before I give it over there. But carry on with the show, Bob.
All right. If this is your first time ever listening to Bob After Dark, we are your weekly show where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and, of course, Count Panic's favorite non-traditional horror film to watch during Halloween.
I like it. Boy, by the way, these price tags are very hard to take off for a vampire,
fine.
Of course, as well.
You don't have to worry about
don't
it.
Don't worry. Well, it's, you know, you can play a guessing game later. Favorite Halloween movie that's non-traditional, you said?
Yeah, non-traditional. Like, you know, people watch, like, Halloween on Halloween.
Yeah, that's traditional, right?
Yes, but, like, what's a non-traditional Halloween movie?
Well, your shirt, I like your shirt, but that's a traditional Halloween movie. That's Ernest.
It's not traditional. I mean, it's traditional in the sense that I watch it, but most people hate this movie.
Yeah, but it deals with Ernest Scared Stupid.
Ernest
it still deals with
stupid.
Paranormal elements. Which
yeah, it's
makes
got
it,
trolls in it, man.
Makes it a Halloween movie, though. So, but this is a non-traditional Halloween movie. Boy, oh boy, Bob, did you stump me on this one, because everything I could...
Well, you could think of like a horror movie.
That people don't watch often on Halloween. Phew. How about, boy.
What's a horror movie turn on that's...
Well, I like Halloween a lot. That's my favorite.
Okay, but
movie.
That's the...
That's a traditional,
that's a traditional Halloween movie.
Oh. Well, what, Nightmare Before Christmas. Is that a Christmas movie or is that a Halloween movie?
I count it as a Christmas
Let's
movie.
Let's do that. That's a great animated
okay,
film.
Okay,
right
I'll count
yeah,
that.
That's
we'll,
a good
we'll
one.
Count that.
We'll count that. Ask Pat and Rebecca the same question.
I'm going to ask them. Here's the thing. They're not going to be sit there and be stumped. They're actually going to have time to think about
it. Is yours Ernest Scared Stupid?
My favorite Halloween movie of all time is Ernest Scared Stupid. My favorite horror film of all time is Ernest Scared Stupid. And my favorite top 10 favorite films of all time, easily in my top 10.
It's the full
It's not
top
my
10?
Favorite horror film of all time, but it's as far as family-friendly horror, it's my... favorite one of all
Leprechaun
time.
Is your favorite, right?
No, Dawn of the Dead, the original.
Dawn of the Dead, the original.
As I knock, why did they move this TV
yeah,
so
would.
I feel like I'm
to
gonna like knock
well,
it off
don't
the
break
hands.
That Bob
I don't
that's
want
expensive
to. It's scary.
A piece of equipment right there.
Yeah, all right, so it is officially Halloween season, and as every Halloween season rolls around, it's hard to pick a theme for October. Because we're a Halloween show all year round.
Yeah, how do we do? Do we do a show not about the paranormal?
We have bird watching.
Yeah.
I swear one day I'm going to retire and we're doing a bird watching show.
Bob after birds.
But this month, because it was how I wanted to work out, we're celebrating paranormal researchers this month.
Ah, yeah. Last week we had a great one.
Last week we discussed the Bigfoot investigator. Now this week we're going to be talking to two paranormal researchers that have their own podcast, and it's my favorite podcast of all time.
And by the way, before we get to that, I did watch the David Letterman clip of the gentleman.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think?
Yeah. I mean, the audience didn't know what to make of that. They were kind of, Letterman was kind of, you know, he's always snarky, but I don't think the guest himself didn't get much of a warm welcome by the crowd.
No.
No. It's a shame. But now,
I'm
like I said.
That you went and did some homework.
I did some digging. But nowadays, you know, that was back in the 80s. I think now. Back then, you were seen as kind of kooky if you search for this type of stuff. Now, a lot of people do it. It's more acceptable nowadays, it seems like, by the vast majority of people.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to be looking at paranormal researchers, because we looked at paranormal investigators, and not every researcher goes out and investigates. Not every...
No.
Some researchers just enjoy the research aspect, and they're not into ghost hunting as much. Or maybe they do the ghost hunting thing, but it's not their primary focus. They prefer to sit down and research.
Yeah.
And then there's people like me that do it both ways. But
why not?
I will say that the finest paranormal researchers in the world, we actually have, in my opinion, coming on the show this month. And we're kicking it off this week with my friends Rebecca and Pat from Ghostly Podcast. Hello, you two.
Hey, Bob. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you, Pat.
Yes, yes, yes. Happy birthday, young one. We
the young one.
Are, yeah. Definitely young.
You guys say that, but I feel like I'm 75. That's the harsh reality there.
Look, 34.
I'm almost closer to 75 than I am to 35, so I don't know.
I'm not going to think about that.
That's not true.
I don't think that's true. But maybe you're spending too much time around a 3,500-year-old vampire.
I think that's part of the problem. But see, next to me, he looks very youthful, you know?
Oh, yeah, thanks. Right?
I appreciate that. Yeah. So we're looking at, we want to celebrate researchers this month, and I wanted to take a moment and kick off the month with live guests with you two. And I think the best place to start is from the beginning, and we're going to do ladies first. So Rebecca, where does your love of the paranormal come from?
You know, I don't remember a time not liking the paranormal, but I will say that when I was very small, I managed to, well, first of all, I love Scooby-Doo, which was like scary, you know, and like the ghosts and all that. And I loved all that. But I managed to convince my mother to let us rent Watcher in the Woods for my 8th birthday because it was a Disney movie. But anyone that's watched that movie, it's terrifying. It's so good. And I loved every second of it. And yeah, haven't stopped since then. I love anything ghosty, spooky, creepy. Always have. So to me, horror movies are the best because they're either good and scary or bad and funny. Never bad. I mean, never a bad watch. Like,
even the bad ones are pretty good, right?
They're awesome. Yeah.
I don't know about that, man. I've seen some bad horror movies.
Well, I have. I've seen some. There are a few exceptions for the rule, but, you know, yeah. By the way, you didn't ask us the question.
Your favorite non-traditional horror movie or traditional Halloween movie to watch around Halloween time.
Now, I mean, I was going to say, I was wondering about The Nightmare Before Christmas because it's become kind of more about, like, I don't, it's a weird one. But I was going to say Lost Boys.
Oh, that's an excellent choice. I watch it every Halloween time. Mm-hmm. And Pat, what about you?
Good choice.
Yeah, so I don't know about you guys, but I start my Halloween season back in like August. So that's what starts it all. But for me, September 22nd is Bilbo and Frodo's birthday. So me, it's Lord of the Rings. I watch all the movies usually in around October-ish.
There you go. That's a
that
good
is
one
an excellent answer, Pat.
Traditionally, more of like a holiday time, I think people watch that, so or Christmas time, you know. So
yeah, but you got to celebrate their birthdays, though.
That makes sense.
The Christmas ones, there's more options. Like Batman Returns is a great Christmas movie.
It's
right?
The best Christmas movie.
Die Hard, Batman Returns, Harry Potter. Yeah. People put Harry Potter.
Pat's about head's about to explode because we mentioned Die Hard as a Christmas movie.
Pat. I'm going to agree to disagree at that point.
So, Pat, you now the interesting thing about Ghostly is you two have different takes on what the paranormal is, and we're going to get to that. But, Pat, your interest in the paranormal comes from where and when?
Oh, man. So this is going to get sad then. Because
that's fine.
His answer was great. Mine came because my dad died when I was 13 years old. And I was looking for ways to get a hold of him and talk to him and wanted to see him again and wanted to express my love to him. So that's where it came from.
Okay.
It's heartwarming, yeah.
Sorry.
Why are you sorry?
Sorry to bring the show down to a screeching halt here.
Pat, it's a valid answer. If that's you were looking for answers, that's a valid way to start your journey or end it in your case, I guess, because you are on the skeptic end.
Yeah. Yes,
which,
I am.
Which we're going to talk about.
Okay.
So Pat and Rebecca, you guys, the beautiful thing about Ghostly Podcast is you two have differing views. Now myself and Count Panic, I could tell Count Panic anything, and he just kind of smiles and nods.
Yeah. like right now, yeah.
And I mean, there's some stories that stick with him, like Yule Cat or Yule the man-eating gourd.
I love the Yule Cat.
Or the man-eating gourd.
Man-eating gourd was a big one. That was a good one.
Or what about Broccoli Man?
We haven't done that yet.
We have not done a Vegetable Man episode.
We did do a Vegetable Man episode. In preparation for this, I found you. I don't know if we were on this show or you were on our show, and we talked about the gourd thing and Vegetable Man years ago.
Yes. Terrifying.
All right.
So you guys had to do it.
We've been
again.
Doing it so long, we don't even remember all of the things we talked about.
But you're also going to hear us talk about it tomorrow if you listen to Ghostly when it comes out tomorrow. Because
that's true.
Bob,
it does come
Bob
up again.
Left it to voicemail.
My, I gotta give some backstory to this before we get to that.
Yes.
So Pat and Rebecca launched this hotline, right? And Pat, if you listen to this, it's a good one. So Pat messages me, of all people, this phone number, and he's like, "Hey, we launched a new hotline number, and we're gonna be taking questions and you know whatever feedback." And I was like, "How many people have you told about this?" And he left it to me.
You're the only one.
Really?
You were the only one.
Yes.
So
you're the only one that has this number available, right?
No, I think it's open to the public now. Okay. But I think
it is now.
Yeah, but
tomorrow.
I was
well as of tomorrow. It'll be
tomorrow officially. Though.
Okay, wow. Yeah. Bob was a test subject.
And so
we're kind of like the United States and England. We just have like that. The Bob After Dark and Ghostly just have like a special relationship.
Oh, we do.
But let me also say that Bob, being a vegetarian, I always tease him that all he eats is broccoli. I don't really believe that. I just tease him about that.
Do you even eat broccoli?
95% of the time, I tease.
Yes, I eat broccoli.
I've never seen you eat broccoli before.
It's not something I eat like every day. I don't sit there and crack open a thing of broccoli.
Well, I know, but it's just weird.
And how often do you sit? Like, broccoli's not something you just go to a restaurant and order broccoli.
You're at Panda Express.
I've done it
pretty
before.
Sure you can.
Yeah. Not like in a normal restaurant. Come on.
Burger and broccoli.
You guys are killing me here.
Yeah. Healthy for you.
So that's the reason he was messing with me, and that's the reason why he asked about Broccoli Man.
I can't believe I made you guys do it again. I didn't.
Yeah.
So Pat's like, you could call and leave us a voicemail. So I'm like, oh my
Anytime,
God.
Anytime, Bob.
I'm going to make him talk about the vegetable man.
Exactly.
I might have mentioned another cryptid during that, too.
Oh, my.
That I definitely do not believe in.
I would assume that you didn't believe in the vegetable man either.
That's the believable one.
You gotta listen tomorrow. Because, I mean, cryptids, I'm kind of. I don't know. I don't really have a strong opinion either which way. So you can convince me either which way on that. But ghost, I do.
So what I was saying before we got to the hotline thing of me cracking up, Pat and Rebecca have this thing where they debate ghost stories. Would either one of you guys like to talk about that?
Yeah, no. Sure. I'll. So let me talk to you guys about how I came up with the idea for Ghostly.
Oh, that'd be great.
I was listening to a small podcast, probably never heard of it, called Lore.
Oh, hosted by some guy named Aaron, right?
Yeah.
Aaron something.
Aaron
Mankey
something.
Or something.
Yeah, the Pokemon, right?
Yeah, there you go. And you know, I kept listening to it, and I'm like, he does not believe everything that he's saying, because he was saying some ridiculous stuff in this episode. And that's where I came up with it. There should be like a counter podcast where we could like talk about it openly and say whether or not we believe in that or not. And he mentioned Ghostly, the word, like 5 times in that episode. So I ran home and checked to see if the name was available, and it was. So that's how Ghostly got started.
That's great.
Yeah.
So Pat and Rebecca host a show where they debate ghost stories. And Rebecca, you are on the correct side of the fight. You're on Team Believer. Huh.
Yes, a believer gal. Yeah, that's me. And it's, I got to tell you, it's always interesting to see the hoops and things that Pat jumps through to try and counter some of these sightings that are out
there.
Well,
okay, so we have some rules that we follow, and nobody knows about these rules except for me and Rebecca.
Oh, this
in order
is
for
exclusive.
Us not, yeah, this isn't exclusive. In order for us not to break out in a fight every single episode, we want to keep it a debate. We are only allowed to counter each other like once or at tops twice. That is a rule that we came up with, and it served us well because there's been some pretty heated episodes out there.
Well, I think it helps because, you know, we give both sides, but our goal is not to come to the answer.
No.
You know, my goal is not to convince Pat because I know that I won't, and he's not trying. Well, he does try to convince me, but he's not going to. But the idea is that we want the listeners to be the ones to weigh the evidence and to vote and see, you know, and then we'll find out, you know, if what majority of people think.
Yeah. So we're essentially attorneys in this yeah. lawsuit. that's what we consider it.
Not get too bloody when we're debating.
And if Rebecca is the yin and is the believer, Patrick would be the yang and the skeptic in the situation, because you need both to make Ghostly work. Count Panic and I don't have that relationship once again. It's just,
yeah.
Count Panic, he'll usually say if something's hooey, and it's very rare that he'll say something is hooey.
Very few I don't believe in. I mean, Broccoli Man I believe in. And the most terrifying for kids kind of cryptid, Broccoli Man. But no, I think there was a few in there I probably didn't really give much thought to, but how am I going to deny you Nessie and Mothman? I mean, they're out there. We have pictures. Yeah. We have photo evidence. Come on.
But well, Bob, yes. Bob, I actually have a question for you.
Yes, of course.
Is there an episode that you've done that you didn't say whether or not you believed in, but you don't believe in it at all?
Good question.
That I've done?
Because I know that there is.
That I've done? That I would know 100% is a hoax?
No, not 100%, but you strongly believe that it's not. That it's not true.
But he portrayed it as that he did?
Are you calling me a scam artist, Pat?
No, I'm not. I
believe in anything.
I'm actually just saying that nobody believes 100% of the paranormal, so I'm assuming that you don't.
No, if you believed in 100% of the paranormal, you would... There, you have to draw a line, because there are some ridiculous things out there, Pat, that I talk about. I got to draw the line somewhere. Demon baby of Hull House? Like, do I believe that there was a demon baby that the Hull House was guarding? I mean, yeah, I believe that. But on the flip side, do I believe that, I don't know, what's some of the more ridiculous things that we've talked about? The man-eating Gordon.
I mean, for me, Amityville would be pretty ridiculous.
And that would be debunked. I would sit here and tell you that 90% of the things that are involved with Amityville are probably debunked at this time, but there's still some hope that there's still some belief going on there.
Hope. Interesting word for that.
I would like to see Amityville being haunted, but do I think it's actually haunted? I don't know. I think most of that's been debunked, but I think that you could have that celebration, because there's many more out there that me and Rebecca could be victorious on.
Yes. Yes, yes.
I mean, there was an episode where Rebecca gave the evidence like a 2, because we rated between 0 and 10, 10 being the most haunted, and she gave 1-2. I can't remember which one that was, but...
That's the lowest?
There was one that, yeah, she didn't believe in it even, so...
Yeah, I will... say if something, you know, like, hey, you know, this one I don't think is necessarily true, you know, or I doubt it more. Pat, on the other hand, very rarely, if ever, I don't know if I can't.
The most I ever gave one was a 4, and that was a near death experience. That's the highest I ever went in an episode. I just can't.
How about like a Yule cat?
Reasons,
a Yule cat.
Well, Yule cat's more of a cryptid, though. So yeah, I mean, I'm 50-50 on those. So I believe in the Yule cat. Okay. Absolutely.
There we go. We're on board. We're a Yule cat.
Yeah.
This is most of our fans that are listening to this episode are going to be like, what is going on? I knew going into this episode that I'm like, I'm going to hit 4 or 5 bullet points. The rest of this is going to be completely derailed conversation.
No.
Well, I like the fact that we learned the name too, Ghostly. We have never told the story how you got the name for this podcast.
What, me?
Bob After Dark. How'd you get the name?
Oh, my goodness. Facebook Live first came out, and I needed a name for a show I was doing.
You're Bob.
And my name was Bob, and I was doing the show After Dark.
There you go.
And then when I transitioned from Facebook Live star into radio star, I just kept the name, and I...
Stuck.
It stuck. I mean, it's kind of weird now. When
you can't change it now, can you?
I can't, and I would if I could. I would if I could.
To what?
Just called The After Dark.
The After Dark.
That would be awesome, yeah. But, because I fear that a lot of people like when they're seeing the name of the show, they might think it's not something related to.
I mean, After Dark can have a lot of meaning. Yeah, so, you know,
that's right.
But you know what? It's I built the brand so hard over the past, you know,
yeah, you have.
So many years now. Yeah. It's like people know the name now. It's too late now. I can't go back.
Cost too much money to change.
I just invested $200-something in the merchandise today.
Yeah. By the way, can we talk about, and I'll take down the lower third if you're watching on the video, because they got shirts. Go See Podcast shirts. I'm Believer Gal right there.
Oh, yeah.
And Pat's got his Chicago.
There's a Skeptic Bro as well. Are the Chicago ones for sale?
This one is for like another day or two, and they're going to discontinue this product.
Oh, so if you're listening to this live, you better hop on that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But we have another one that looks similar to it, but it's not the what is it?
The bike baseball shirt?
Yeah, baseball shirt. That's it. Why am I saying bike shirt? Yeah.
So shop, is it gosleeppodcast.shop.com or something like that?
Gosleeppodcast.com.
Okay.
And then there's shop.
/shop.
There we go. Wait. Mm-hmm. Well, they had shirts on, Bob. we gotta plug the merch. Bob,
welcome to Paranormal Researchers Month. Let Panic start plugging merchandise midway through the show.
We're plugging merch
all
here.
All right, Bob, what questions do you have for us?
Yes.
Before I don't know.
Derail the show anymore.
I was going to say, I mean, Count Panic, do you have any more questions for our guests? Because I'm just curious at this point. Do you have anything
else? Well, I'm sure I'll follow up some more questions here. But
do you have any more things you'd like to plug, Count Panic?
Well, is that cotton or what kind of polyester or what's the shirt made out of?
I always pick the premium ones. This is definitely cotton.
Okay, so. Good.
Because it wrinkles a little bit. So.
Yeah, I like it. Bob, what's your shirt made out of?
I just got it in. I don't know, man.
Ernest Scared Stupid.
It's my new Ernest Scared Stupid shirt. But anyway, okay.
Okay.
I have a show to do. Right. We're halfway through this, and I don't even think we've got
219-845-1100. Call it with your questions.
So, Rebecca, you started off as a horror movie fan, and you somehow transitioned into talking about ghosts. Now, when I first started Bob After Dark, I thought I was going to be hosting horror movies. That's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But I somehow ended up in the paranormal, and I don't know how that happened. So do you know how it happened to you from, you know, being a love of horror films into, you know, the paranormal? Because there is a fine line there that, yeah, it's kind of similar in respects, but there's a big difference too when you're sitting down being like, these things I'm seeing in the movies, you know, so could some of them be true, some of them not, you know, where does that happen for you?
Yeah, I think, a big part of it was curiosity. My friends, we would play games. We would, you know, Bloody Mary or Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board, you know, and sometimes they would work, right? And I have one of my bestest friends in the world. She's my sister. And, you know, she went through a time where she had a lot of paranormal stuff happen to her when, you know, that time when girls often seem to have that happen, you know, that kind of preteen, early teen age. And, you know, this is someone that I trust completely and experience things with her. And it just was like, oh, you know, wow. Okay. Those things in the movies aren't always just in the movies. And you know, I never became a ghost hunter. But I was always curious about it. I'm going to be honest. Some things were scary. So I kind of pulled back from, you know, doing too much. I was more, I like to read about it and see the movies and I don't, I like going on investigations, a little, but, it was never, as big of a draw to me as just learning about what after experiencing it a little bit, I kind of pulled back.
Then there's nothing wrong with that. And that's why this month is so important, because not everybody who researches the paranormal goes out there and hunts it, because it's just too much for some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Pat, you told us where your interest in the paranormal came from, but how did it? I know the story, but I'm not going to use the term paranormal, but spiritual. Where do you pick up on that in your journey then? Because I know you went through some interesting waves, and now you're a skeptic on a podcast, which is mind-blowing knowing where you've come from.
Yeah, so are you asking how I became a skeptic? How it ended for me?
No, okay. We'll get
or
to that.
You walk you through the journey?
Walk me through the journey a little bit, Pat. Walk me through where you started. You wanted to communicate with your father.
And so I was raised Christian, so
sure.
I tended to stay away from that until I felt like I couldn't anymore because, you know, I wanted to talk to my father. And so I dabbled in Christian spirituality, which I went to this church on the north side that was sending me brochures all the time because I called them one time and for years they sent me brochures. And I went there and I realized that wasn't really my path. And in fact, I somewhere along the way became pagan. I really was big in the pagan community. I had a pagan online community of my own and had people working for me and stuff in that capacity. And life was great. I joined a coven at one point. And then right after that, during the first year of being in that coven, I was given, you know, a lot of lessons and stuff like that. But there was this love for something else that I didn't even know exactly what it was, but it turned out to be Buddhism. So, and that's full circle, my spiritual side right there.
That is so fascinating. So how does one go from, because usually when somebody decides in paganism, and this is just from my kind of perspective, when someone chooses that kind of spiritual path, they typically stay on that path for a long period of time. Usually they'll add to it, or maybe they'll go full circle and turn back to Christianity. But you did like the full, like, different approach. So how does one go from running a successful pagan community, being a part of a coven, to now you're a skeptic on one of the most popular paranormal podcasts in the world? How does that happen?
Well, it happened because I got dumped by a girl.
Ah.
And I was going through a lot at that time. Even though the relationship wasn't long, I was really into it for some reason. And I was looking for answers, and a friend told me to try something new and different every day. Well, I was a busy person, so I made it every week. And one of the things that I wanted to do, I've always been interested in Zen Buddhism, and I decided to attend a service there, which now I know it's called the Dharma Talk and a Zazen, which is meditation. And interesting enough, I just had a conversation with the person that turned me pretty, and she didn't even realize it. Her words turned me. I woke up in that moment to realize that I was grieving over my parents and the grief would never end until I let go. In order to let go, I needed to let go of that other side of me that believed that I could talk to them. And that's how I became a skeptic with ghosts. And that's why I'm not a skeptic with UFOs or cryptids or anything like that, just ghosts.
So I got to ask, do you remember the words that was spoken to you that kind of woke you up? I know the words,
yeah.
But I was hoping you would share them because they're pretty, because there's times when I reflect on that, even though I'm not a skeptic, I reflect on your words because they're pretty powerful words.
Yeah. So some people, I mean, most people don't even understand what I'm talking about when I say it, because it doesn't make sense. But so I was, you know, I was this pagan guy going to experience this meditation. And during the meditation, I had this vision. And I saw Mother Earth, and I saw it giving birth to the earth again. And it was beautiful. And I waited a couple of weeks, and then I talked to one of the Zen monks there, and I told her that I had a vision, and she said, "Don't worry, that'll pass." And I was like, "Wait, you don't know what I'm talking about. I had a vision, like a real vision. This could change everything." And she said, "Don't worry, it'll pass." And then that day during the Dharma talk, it was led by somebody else. And he told this story about a guy that went to his teacher and said, "Today, I'm feeling really cloudy. There's no way that I could become enlightened today." And the Zen master said, "Don't worry, that'll pass." And then the next week he came in and he said, "You know what? I'm feeling so much better. I'm surely going to be awakened today." And he said, "Don't worry, that'll pass." And right there, right then and there is when I stopped being a pagan. I became a Buddhist. It was those words. "Don't worry, it'll pass."
Rebecca, back to you then, because we have some, those are potent words and it's going to be hard to follow up, but going on through your journey, at what point, are you researching the paranormal? Does it ding on you that you are a what's your shirt say, believer gal?
Yeah,
the believer gal. So, at what point do you not question things, or we question things as believers? Don't let Pat think that we're all these these weird people that think that every creak in the wood is a ghost. We're not those types of people, I promise. Not every believer is like that. Pat might make you think that we're some kind of weird cult, but we're not, I promise. So at what point do you, in your academic research into the paranormal, at what point do you make yourself out to be a believer? Or was it personal experience, or was it, you know, whatever it might be?
Yeah, well, as you know, kind of as I mentioned, I had some personal experiences when I was younger, and then I started to read tarot cards. You know, that was something that I started to do that I felt was a way that I could practice kind of connecting with the universe and in a way that was something positive that I enjoyed doing. And then I'm going to say, honestly, like ghostly was kind of brought me back to it. You know, I think I had kind of gone away from a lot of that. I was, again, had the horror movie interest and always was a believer, but I had just kind of, you know, you get into life and you move on. And, you know, as you get older, and then coming back to ghostly, what was really great is we, especially in the beginning, and I think we continue to do this, you know, we'll do our weekly episodes that are like we pick a place or a person and we research and we talk about what the ghost is. But we also do episodes where we talk about like concepts, you know, and I think early on we had a paranormal researcher that we found online, and we did an interview with her, and that was just like, whoa, like this is a bigger world now. Like this is so like the actual, you know, I mean, I always watched like the TV shows, you know, sure, where they did the ghost hunting and everything, but like talking to someone that like this was their, like maybe not like their full-time job, but you know, like a job that they did. And she really was very meticulous and thorough about like how they did it. And like you said, it's like, we don't believe everything. Like our first job is to, you know, rule everything out. And then we went on a tour with everyone's favorite tour guide, Tony Cebulski. That was the first time we met Tony, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is like a whole world, and all the EMF readers and everything. And it just really kind of woke it back up for me. And so I love when we do these episodes where we kind of research paranormal concepts, you know, like shadow people, or, you know, just something where it's just kind of like, ooh, I want to learn about that, you know? And I think that I really, you know, credit Ghostly for helping me go deeper and bring it back into my life.
That's such a good answer. And it's hard to follow up with Pat's life-changing sentence. So but you did really well there.
Can I add something to this?
Oh, though? Please. Absolutely.
Because when I first told Rebecca about the idea of Ghostly, now she has a master's in English. So her first thought was Ghostly. That's a horrible name.
It was really difficult for me.
Oh,
like,
no.
How can we just, like, it can't just be.
Can we call it Ghost?
Podcast. Yeah. Oh, no.
But now it's, you know, I'm used to it. But yeah. But still, whenever you tell somebody the name, the Ghost Lee, like they always have to say it like that. It's a little weird, but it's okay.
That's a good. I never knew that before. See, I am even learning something this episode. Now, Rebecca, do you regret it now, or do you like it now, the name?
No, I like it now.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Yeah. I hope it didn't just grow on you, and it's just like it's something you actually like now.
No, I do like it.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. So you guys have an extensive library of episodes, just like I do, and that's why I love, like, you know, as Rebecca made the England and the USA comparison, if you look at Ghostly, we have very similar traits, and one of which is a very extensive catalog is what I'm getting at here. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite episode you've ever done? And we're going to start with Rebecca. What's your favorite episode that you've ever recorded so far?
So I've been trying to think about that. Like, I actually took myself on a journey back through the episodes. And it is. It's really hard because I like so many for different reasons. It's really hard. You know what? One of them I will say is the one that we recorded for our, I think, 5-year anniversary, which is on Halloween. So back in 2023, we did Resurrection Mary Revisited. So our very first episode was Resurrection Mary. The Revisited episode, we had a friend of ours on who's from the Chicago area who saw Resurrection Mary. And I feel like that was really one of the first times that we ever had somebody on that was like, nope, sorry. Like done. And this is the story. And it was great. And then he like magically had a whole bunch of other really creepy, awesome stories. And I just wasn't ready for like the factual nature of his story. And it was super fun to record. Because usually when we do episodes, you know, we've done the research and we know what we're going to talk about. And it's super fun. And I can talk about my favorite of those episodes, but I really enjoyed going back to Resurrection Mary, which was our first episode and I think one of our best episodes, but we managed to complement it, I think, really well.
Same question, Pat.
Yeah, so coming up with one is very difficult for me because I really like our Skeptics Day episodes where we aren't doing that and where we're just having fun. You've been on a couple of them with
the Alphabet
Cereal.
Almost said those too. Yeah.
I really enjoy those because I play dumb in it too. I play like I'm going into it expecting this to be taken seriously and it's not. And but I got to say, probably one of my favorites is the one that came out. And I don't even know what episode it is. It's the one that came out right after Waverly Hills episode for us, because that's when I had my best friend Mondo on, and Mondo sang a song for us that became Mondo's thing now. Whenever he comes on the show, everyone expects him to sing a song about that particular topic. So, and if I sang it right now, it's really catchy. So I don't, it's like an earworm. Yeah.
We'll tell Mondo to call in, but we do have a caller, Bob.
We have a caller. We'll
take it live here.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
We can hear you. John, are you on the air? Is that you?
Yep, it's me, Bob.
Hi, John. How are you?
Pretty good. I want to wish you a happy birthday. Hope your birthday was good and wish you many more. And very interesting guest, as always, Pat, Rebecca. I think you guys were on a few times before, am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah, we've been on a couple times.
I believe I talked to Pat about why he was a non-skeptic at one time, which, explained to me. And then, I just listened a little while ago what he had to say. But now you guys aren't married, right?
Oh.
I'm listening to this on the radio. I'm not viewing it on JTV, so.
That's top secret information. But yes we are. Yeah, that's top secret.
You are.
So John, don't go telling people that, though.
Oh, no, well, you know what? I really didn't know, to be honest with you. And
we don't talk about it because we don't want to make that a focus. But
the only reason I'm asking that is how is life, you know, and both of you could answer it, you know, individually, how is life very life with one being a skeptic and one being a non-skeptic in the paranormal world.
Yeah, well, I mean, our idea with Ghostly was to teach people, this is our secret mission with Ghostly, is to teach people that you could get along even if you disagree. And we agree on a lot of things. We just don't agree on ghost. That's the only thing that we, you know, we know right away we're not going to agree. Like, I sometimes I'm like, really? You believe that? You know, and, you know, she just knows I'm not going to believe it. So,
yeah. Now, were you guys aware of this before you got married? Because I don't know your history. So, is this, are you guys aware of this?
No, we were doing Ghostly before we got married. So, it was, and you know, I think, the message being right that you can have these conversations and do it in a respectful way, and agree to disagree and just listen respectfully to each other. So I think that's helpful, you know, for
definitely. And you know what, that could be, that could be in any walks of life where, you know, nobody's always going to. And, you know, everybody's going to have a difference of opinion, whatever it may be. But, Pat, you mentioned something about the phrase, this too shall pass, has changed. That has something to do with changing your whole idea of thinking?
Yeah. For some reason, it hit me really hard then. It made me realize that the reason why I struggled up until that point is because I held on to this belief that I was going to be able to talk to them, that I would meet them one day and I would be happy hand in hand with all of them running in a field at some place. But, you know, that you moment this, was when
And you heard this from whom?
A Buddhist
person or a monk?
A Buddhist monk.
And you never heard that and you never heard that phrase prior to him saying that?
Not in that capacity, not after just talking about this vision that I had, thinking that this vision is going to pass, and that everything passes.
I don't know if that's exactly in the Bible, but I've heard that phrase quite often. And usually it's told to me by, you know, a positive thinker or somebody that's not a worrier, that's saying, you know, don't worry about, you know, if you're worrying about something, they'll say, hey, this too shall pass, or, you know, or any situation that might be going on in your life, you know, depending on who you're
absolutely
talking to or getting advice from, a lot of times that phrase will come up, you know, hey, don't, you know, this too shall pass. In other words, you know, don't worry about it, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. It is a common saying, and I just never heard it in that regard, and my parents were very much on my mind at that moment too. So it made me make the conclusion a little bit easier.
Well, I'm glad that stuck with you, you know, and that, you know, just a few words helped you out or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, John. I really appreciate that.
So are you guys going to be, Bob, are they going to be
they will be there on the 18th.
You can meet them on October 18th.
We're coming to Indiana.
good. And you know what? For your viewing and listening audience, I know you mentioned Bob Club Cuyahoga in East Chicago, Indiana, but the address is 5220 Indianapolis Boulevard. It does sit in back of another building. So for people that are not aware of the area, you're not going to see it right off the boulevard, but it's in back of a big building called Marco Plumbing Supply. So it's a parking there. It's a beautiful facility. They got a, you know, I don't know if you guys do a podcast in the hall there, but a beautiful facilities as far as, you know, hall and a drinking bar area. So just those that are not familiar with that might be listening or whatever, it's, you know, it's a beautiful facility, and but it does sit off of Indianapolis Boulevard a little bit, so
look for the Ecto One. Look for the Ecto One. The Ecto One will be parked out in front of the plumbing building.
Good to know. So you get your plumbing needs done, and then go listen about ghost stories. Yeah,
John, you're saying that you need to just trust that address. Have blind faith in that address that's going to take you there.
Well, now that's something I got to think about, you know. But hey, I'm excited about the 18th. I'm excited, I talked to you guys before. Obviously, never met you, and hoping to bring some people along with me. And awesome. Like Bob said, it's for $5. I mean,
can't beat it.
Hey, any money is worth a good cause. So, in $5, you can't beat that. So.
There you go.
Hey, thanks for being on the air, and Bob, we'll talk to you next time.
Sounds good, John. Appreciate you.
Hey, Bob.
There you go. So then, too, as well, you could meet. We said John's going to have his own table, right?
John's going to be.
He could sign autographs at his own table there.
There
but,
you go.
But wow. So the Ecto. Wait, so this is breaking news. Before we get to the back to the conversation, the Ecto one will be out there.
Yeah, James from my brother James from Peoria is coming out to bring the Ecto, and
can't miss it. Then
can't miss it. So we'll have a big old pickup truck Ecto sitting out in front of the plumbing
Ghostbusters
place.
Vehicle,
and then you come in, and so there will be more people there than Ghostbusters, but the Ghostbusters will be there from Ghostbusters Peoria. So hats
there we go
off to them.
All right,
nice.
Yes,
Bob, are you going to have your proton pack with you?
I will not be. No, I'm
suit up.
I'm not suiting up for my own event. I have 50,000 things to think about not being a Ghostbuster is top of that list.
Okay.
Yeah, so, well, I was just saying, just in case there's any trouble or anything, you would have...
There will be other Ghostbusters there, and I do have security, so it'll be okay.
Wow. Good. Security now.
It's been from displays.
So we hired Ghostbusters to protect us the whole night.
He's kind of like a Ghostbuster.
There we go. Yeah.
All right. So I have a couple more questions for you guys before we wrap up.
Yeah.
And the last one is going to be a hootenanny. So out of all of the episodes that you guys look at, what, Rebecca, is the hardest evidence that you think that you can say 100% this is the episode I look at? This is the truth. This is believable. This is without a doubt 100% a haunted situation.
Ooh. That's an interesting question. There's too many episodes.
No, that's fair.
Feel totally confident. No, I think, that is tricky. I think, the one I mentioned is a big one as far as having a person, that really felt confident in their story. I also think the country house really stood out as one that felt like it had a good amount of evidence to it. Both, local people that had stories that I, some that I met, some that, just listened to, but also, some of our friends that have done investigations there found evidence. And it really, as well as the people that work there. So one of those things where there's just like, it doesn't matter who you talk to. There's always, people have stories about it. So, that was episode number 52. I looked it up.
Oh, look at you.
Country house episode. Again, it's hard to say, but that I would say that's a big one.
That's a good one. Now, Pat, I know that the near-death experience episode is the highest you've ever gone. But what is the most ridiculous thing you've ever looked at? And you've just, I know every episode you give a 0 or a 1 to, but has there ever been a negative number that you've ever come across or a piece of evidence that you have to scoff at so loud that it drives you nuts?
Well, I want to answer Rebecca's thing first.
Though, sure.
Because the one that to me is hard for me to really debate. By the way, Rebecca is a much better debater than I am. She is a little bit more aggressive when it comes to debating than I am. I have seen her take down grown men in debates and make them near tears because she has gotten to him that much. And you know him too. It's Mr. Nick Mataragas.
Skeptic non-filtered.
Pat can't handle two people talking that disagree with each other when he's not involved. It's very difficult for him.
But the episode to me that would be the hardest for me to debate is not the near-death one, actually.
Oh, no kidding.
It is a episode with Jacob Mayfield. He does our predictions episode every year.
Our favorite episodes. Yeah. Love those.
And the one year we were just doing tarot readings and he dealt me a ace of swords, and it was pointing right at my abdomen. And that was the year that I had my kidney transplant, and he predicted that it was going to happen.
Wow.
So I don't know how I can debate that. By the way, the kidney came from a ghostly listener as well.
That's amazing, right?
Absolutely.
The show has definitely changed our lives a lot. Yeah.
So, yeah, let me talk about the one that is the most ridiculous to me. Oh, man. That's a really hard one, because looking at some of them, there are some really good ones. I would have to say Amityville is the one that drove me the most nuts, because Rebecca won that debate. And I'm like, I just said it's been debunked, and I gave all of the reasons that it was debunked. It wasn't even my point of view. It was just facts, and people still voted that it was haunted. So that drove me absolutely crazy. Another thing that drives me crazy is this praying mantis man that wears overalls.
You can't see Bob right now, but he's on the floor.
I was just going to say, wow.
You broke Bob.
Yeah, that's what Pat does.
Broke him down.
It was the most ridiculous story I've ever heard in my life, I think.
Even more than the Kung Fu priest at St. James?
Yeah, I believed that growing up, so, but it was the overalls, though.
What does it end? Where does he get those overalls?
What Matt's referring to was, there is a story of a praying mantis man sighting at Fisher Woods Chiller Woods in Cook County. And the people who witnessed the praying mantis said that the praying mantis was wearing bib overalls. Now, the praying mantis itself isn't where Pat draws the line. No, for whatever reason, Pat draws the line at wearing bib overalls. Not that there's a giant praying mantis. No, that's fine. He'll believe that. But because it's wearing overalls, well, that's done.
That came up during an event that we did called Dark Matters, where I actually filled in for you, Panic.
Yeah.
To make it that day. And had it not been for that, I would have been fine. I probably wouldn't have been in the room and never heard about Praying Mantis Man with the overalls, but that did it right there. In front of a live audience.
In front of a what?
Give Bob a little moment here.
I was just going to say, so Panic, I'm just going to say, looking at your drink there, are you drinking blood? Because it literally
does it look like that? It's a red cup.
It really
does. Yeah. It's got a little cherry tint.
And then there's like red streaks on the cup.
It does look like that.
Like, it's freaking me out.
This is from the Pilot gas station. They sell blood at the Pilot gas station, I guess, but you can get that there for sure. While Bob is regrouping himself, I got a non-paranormal question. You know, we were all at Riot Fest a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And we were coming off the high when I talked to you. That was Max Sabbath, which might be more the so top of the weekend. But you guys went to all 3 days. I think we all agree Max Sabbath was at the top. But what was your exact favorite band you saw at Riot Fest? All 3 days.
Oh, my geez. That is hard, because I'm going to say mine was Green Day, because I had never seen Green Day before, and I didn't know what to expect. But I know Rebecca will probably have a different answer.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
it probably was after you.
Yeah. I mean, Green Day is, they're always amazing. But Weird Al.
Weird Al. And that was his crowd was massive, I tell you.
They underestimated the popularity. I mean, that's just one of those I was not expecting that. I knew it was going to be good. I wasn't expecting him to literally recreate every amazing video.
Costume changes. Yeah, it sounds the same. Yeah.
And then the ending was, my jaw was literally open, and I didn't realize it halfway through. I was like,
he spent five minutes playing Knick Knack Paddywhack, and it was insane. It was.
In a good way.
He did all kinds of weird things with his hands, and everybody was in sync doing it and in perfect harmony doing it.
It was a crazy time. The first time at Riot Fest, again, a great time at Riot Fest. Bob, are you recovered?
Yes, I'm okay. Fine.
He got up. He's off the floor now.
Oh, my okay. God. The praying mantis man with the overalls.
He's still thinking about that.
Because it's one of the for me, it's not ridiculous at all, because I hear these types of things. But you bring it to poor Pat, who is like, you know, who's used to hearing stories about, I don't know why I always go back to this one, probably because it's one of my favorite episodes you guys ever done, but the Hawaiian airport. Pat's used to hearing about is the Hawaiian airport haunt and not praying mantis people.
Or the Eastland Island massacre.
The Easter Island.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah, Easter Island massacre. Easter Island. Yes.
That is because of spirits, and I'm telling you. Yeah, that was that's one of my top favorite moments of all time in my career, you know, let me tell you.
Well, I will tell you one of my favorite that I remembered going back through time was I didn't realize it was our second episode was the Italian Bride. And yes. I'm pretty sure that's when is that when we learned about corpse cheese? Or was that
yes,
Lincoln?
Corpse cheese.
Okay.
That was corpse cheese because that's when we first but it had to do with Lincoln. Lincoln was corpse cheese.
And then so there's just weird things you learn about in the paranormal. That was like, this is gonna be a different kind of show. I didn't realize.
Yeah. Yeah, if I ever get arrested and they look at my Google history, it's gonna be insane. I don't know.
All right. So I have one last question, and it's going to be a flip-flop question for you guys.
All right. Last one, best one.
Last one, best one. So, Rebecca.
All right. Yes.
What piece of paranormal evidence do you always call bunk daring?
Ooh. I don't know if I have, like, a go-to, like, oh, that's always.
Like, for me, it's orbs. Fake. Orbs or dust.
I've seen some videos of orbs, so it's not always. I mean, a lot of times, yes, but, I don't know that there's anything that I, like, will always say no to. I don't know, unless you could think of something that I say, Pat, but I feel like I try to be open, you know. I mean, like, I'm not going to always believe it.
Sure.
I mean, you know, that, but, like, orbs, for sure, I would say most of the time I'm a little skeptical on, but seen some videos.
Okay. Now, Pat, I gotta ask you, what is your favorite ghost story trope of all time?
You want me to say Lady in White?
I don't want you to say that. I feel like that's the answer I'm expecting. I'm curious if you're going to. That's the answer I'm expecting. Now, are you going to hit me with a curveball or what?
Well, I want to go with the one that's the hardest for me to debate would be actual physical evidence. When Rebecca does bring me one with actual physical evidence, it's really, really difficult because we're not there. We're not in that particular area. But yeah, as far as the standards go, woman in white, there's always a woman in white in every single story. Or it's an old man dressed up in period clothing. It's never just some random guy that got into a car accident or something like that that's dressed just like everybody else.
Bob, if Bob comes back, he'll be in his earnest, scared, stupid shirt haunting.
You really like the shirt, don't you? Yeah.
But it's all, you're right, Pat. It's always period clothing back for ghosts.
Yeah.
No baseball caps or anything.
No.
Yeah. Something to ponder, Bob.
Now, I want to say, guys, thank you so much for coming on Bob After Dark. I really appreciate it, and I hope you guys had a good time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We always have a good time talking to you, Bob. And, I look at your podcast, and you've done so well with everything. I'm really proud that I helped be a part of this and help, you know, put you on the air. I am the worst businessman that actually makes my own competition.
Because we should talk about that. I mean, there's a whole network right here.
What?
There's a whole network of podcasts, right?
Oh, sure, there is.
Should we promote that?
What's the network of podcasts?
Pat, am I wrong on this?
Memoriam. Oh, my God.
Memoriam Development.
Bob forgot what network he's a part of,
I forgot for a moment. I'm like, why are we talking about the WJOB podcast network with Pat and Rebecca?
No, come on.
No, Memoriam. Yeah. I mean, that's because of Pat. I always call my podcast Yoda. I got introduced to Nick, which let me be a part of Memoriam Development. And I've, you know, been kind of one of the podcasters in Memoriam now, and it's been really special, so I really appreciate all the kind words, Pat.
Yeah, and we love having you on there, and you're our most successful podcast on there, so
sure.
Thank you.
Yeah by a landslide, so yeah.
Well, thank you, that means a lot to me, and I appreciate you guys just in general. Like, I whenever people ask me for opinions on podcasts, I always tell them, go listen to Ghostly, because it's not just a paranormal show, but you get a good history lesson. You two are hilarious, and you have great chemistry to talk, you know, listen to talk to, so it always means a lot to me when you guys take time out of your busy schedules to come on my show.
Oh, yeah, and we can't wait to have you on ours. We already talked about an episode idea. I don't want to spoil it yet because we don't have a date in mind. But yeah, so we can't wait to have you on, though, again.
I always go back to when we met Bob, which was a very unlikely place, C2E2, comic convention. But your words were paranormal podcasts got to stick together.
Well, that was actually Southgate that came up with that.
No,
and told us.
Southgate. Oh. That was me. What? I came up with that.
No, that was Bob.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Southgate put together the thing where we met, but Bob was the one that came up and was like, I saw you were on the list. Paranormal podcast going to stick together.
Well, then Bob told him that before Bob told me that, because he told me that too. So he goes, here's Bob. You need to stick together with him because paranormal podcasts stick together.
Wow. Oh, I remember Bob saying it first.
Thank you, Rebecca. I appreciate that. Do you guys have any closing words for the audience this evening?
Yeah, I can't wait for you to hear what I said about your broccoli man.
I'm listening first thing tomorrow morning.
And I'll just say, you know, it's been amazing. It's almost 7 years doing the show. So it's been a lot of fun. So I appreciate this opportunity to kind of go down memory lane. I like was going back through the episodes and, you know, we're embarking on our month of October, which is when we do weekly episodes and we always pick a theme. And I had forgotten that our first theme was exorcisms. So those were super creepy episodes. So if you're interested in that, go back. This month we are doing celebrity ghosts.
Not to be confused with celebrity ghost stories. These are actual sightings of ghosts, of celebrities.
Exactly. Yes, of ghost celebrities that have passed and are now ghosts. Yes.
Or at least
doing the research is a little tricky because they like to bring up those celebrity ghost stories.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening to an episode of Bob After Dark. Count Panic.
Yeah. Thanks, Pat and Rebecca, for coming on. If you want to see them in person, in the flesh.
In the flesh.
In the Chicagoland, Northwest Indiana area. Once again, Club Cayuga, East Chicago, Indiana. Scaring is sometimes caring.
Scaring is sometimes caring.
We'll get the name right by the time October 18th.
Sometimes Scaring is Caring Festival. Pat came up with a name, actually.
There we go.
He did.
Yeah. Can't blame Pat.
So you can see them October 18th.
Yeah. October 18th.
Until next time, though. Great episode, Bob. Great episode. What would that, Morty, can I say?
Yes. All right. Just want to say thank you once again, everybody. To my mom, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. To my dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And to Tiff, wherever you are in the world, I hope you're happy doing. Hope you're having the sweetest dreams of them all, being happy, I suppose, too. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
memoriam development.